Welcome to the first ever Planet GameCube podcast. I am Mike Stryker Hobie.
And I am Evan Sveven.
And we met each other for the first time at E3, and everyone seemed to comment that I'm very loud and Evan is very loud. So somewhere along the line, we decided we should do a podcast.
So that all of you get to listen to us talking incredibly loud. But don't worry, it's safe for work, kind of.
Hopefully.
Just barely.
All right, so on our... Go ahead.
We're going to start out by talking about E3, because we got to go to E3. And Mike, did we have a good time in Nintendo's booth?
Yeah, we had a really good time. I usually spend about at least 50% of my time at Nintendo, but this year I spent almost all my time there.
You spent almost all your time? Like, percentage-wise, like, was it like 95%?
No, I spent the entirety of the first day and the third day at Nintendo's booth.
And on wow.
On the second day, I had some meetings and interviews and stuff, and I went to South Hall for a little bit, but I barely played anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Hall was an interesting place, mainly because, like, it kind of was like the exact opposite of West Hall. For those of you guys who've never been to E3, the LA Convention Center is divided into two pieces. And one piece is West Hall, where it's a little bit more, shall we say, dignified. It's where Nintendo is, Sony's there, it's not loud, it's really nice, there's no one like running around naked, and there you can actually breathe by standing in the middle of the room, if you
Unless
want to.
Unless you're in Nintendo's booth.
Unless you're in Nintendo's booth, where people were passing out from heat stroke, from just the fat guy standing next to them. But if it weren't for that, you know. But West Hall is a nice, clean place. South Hall, on the other hand, is like the dregs. South Hall is Skid Row of E3. Well, Skid Row's Kentia, but South Hall's where everybody thinks it's hip, it's cool. Let's be here at South Hall.
I think, go ahead. I liken South Hall at the show to basically a living embodiment of the internet, where as soon as you walk in, you are instantly bombarded from every direction with sight and sound. And like, things are literally popping up in front of you, and then over there, there's a half-naked woman. So basically, it is the internet.
It is the internet. It really is.
Johnny likened it to walking into 30 rock concerts all at the same time.
And competing with each other. It wasn't... Yeah. NCSoft was actually fined for being too loud.
Yeah,
and
I heard about that.
I don't know. Did you go by NCSoft?
Yeah, I played Tabula Rasa. It was the only PC game I played, because I was very interested in it.
Yeah, I think I was in there for a while, and I didn't think it was that bad, but...
Oh, well, when I was there was, like, a huge band. Not, like, huge. There was a lot of people in this band. I've never heard of them. Playing on the stage. They had dancing girls who were singing and making out with each other, and they had a fire twirler on top of all that.
Okay, that's not what you see at Nintendo's booth. That is not Nintendo.
Probably the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, Microsoft had a pretty interesting booth. I've heard it's very similar to what was there last year. I wasn't there last year. But Microsoft's booth had these little sit-down stations where you could play the games. And that was really interesting to me. It was like these little circular booths, and then the TV screens like kind of bloomed out of them like a flower. If you imagine what a Blossom Pokemon looks like, it's kind of shaped like that. And you would sit inside of it and look at the TV screen. And while you were in it, you know, it's like maybe four or five stations. People on the outside could look at the same video monitor and watch people play. And that was where we got to see what is possibly game of the show for humor. The game is Too Human, and who doesn't know about Too Human?
Please don't talk too badly. We're friends with Dennis.
Yeah, I don't want to make fun of Too Human too much. But let's just say it was a little disappointing to go by. And that we talked about it a lot, and that, of all people, Johnny was really upset. It was a sad thing. We walked by, and we're just kind of like, 2 frames a second?
Apparently,
why?
Apparently, from what I heard, the build for Too Human was a different build than what some other people had played about 2 weeks ago. That was apparently much better.
Well, that's good.
But Dennis says the game is going to be delayed indefinitely until they hit constant, stable 30 frames a second. Mm.
So wow.
Very good news for them.
So another 3 years slapped on the development time. We got, you know, it'll have been in development for 13 years, and it will finally come out right before Duke Nukem Forever. Right. So that's all I got to see at Microsoft. Did you see anything else cool in Microsoft's booth?
Literally, the only thing I played inside that entire booth was the Xbox Live Arcade version of Lumines, which I didn't like as much as the PlayStation Portable version.
Oh, really? Really? You know, we really missed out. Everybody's going off about Gears of War, and we didn't even touch it.
And apparently Mass Effect was huge, and I totally missed it.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you're a Nintendo fan. You walk into South Hall and you don't know what to look for. You've only been reading one thing.
Last year I had plenty of time to check out South Hall, and the year before that, because not much was going on at Nintendo's booth. Like, they were like, oh, you know, here... Last year there was a lot of great DS games, but the year before that it was like, oh, here's the DS and the failing GameCube and GBA lines. Well, GBA wasn't failing at the time. And so I spent a lot of time in South Hall just playing all sorts of stuff, and last year I did the same thing, but this year... We dominated the show so much. By we, I mean the console, not...
We rampaged.
The Wii from Nintendo dominated the show so much. I guess I forgot we're not supposed to use personal pronouns or something like that.
Yeah, it's not the Wii. It's just... Or even Nintendo. So your sentence was entirely correct. We dominated the show.
Yeah, it did. It did. But in order to avoid confusion, Nintendo says I'm supposed to avoid sentences that are structured like that one. It's in a little style guide.
Yeah, well, that's actually part of the Nintendo's press kit was a style guide for how to pronounce and spell everything. They also had the correct spelling for Nintendo GameCube with the capitalized C, but it's not three words or two words. It's one word.
I remember when the GameCube first came out, they were saying, no, it's one word. Don't capitalize the C in the middle, but everyone did it. And it sort of
just, they just changed. Now it's the rule.
Wii. Nintendo's upcoming home video console. It is simply Wii, not Nintendo Wii. It is pronounced Wii, indicating its all-inclusive nature. The name works best at the beginning of a declarative statement. For clarity, it is best to avoid passive verbs and prepositions.
The name works best at the beginning of a declarative sentence.
Such as, we will rock you.
We will rock you. Or, and so all we can say is, we will do this, and we will do that. We is not. That to me, that strikes me as quite funny for the future of we, because if all that we can say when we say we is okay, and that was funny when Reggie Fils-Aimé was out there.
Oh man.
Okay, that was funny when during the press conference. What did he say? It was something like what we want to do, and it was like every time he said we,
it was. Everyone will realize what it's about when they get to play Wii. I think that's what it is. Something along those lines.
Yeah, and he meant Wii as in Nintendo, and sometimes he said Wii as in the system.
Yeah, he needs to read the style guide.
He definitely needs to read the style guide that he probably wrote. So that was the press conference. Though it was a good show. It was less than an hour long. It was just like 55 minutes, maybe right
it was
on.
Perfect.
It was everything was great. I was a particular fan. I know Johnny did not like what Satoru Iwata had to say just because he finds Satoru Iwata to be slow. I really enjoyed his talk.
To be fair, the guy's voice is kind of creepy.
In Nintendo, we enjoy making good games. Nintendo is the company to play with. Nintendo.
It was a much better show than the past couple of years. They were in the Kodak Theater, which for those of you who don't know, that's where the Academy Awards, aka the Oscars, are held. I took a picture of my seat in the third row. I'm pretty sure somebody famous sat there. Maybe.
Oh dude, it was probably like Tom Hanks' seat. You and Tom Hanks are bosom buddies now.
Yeah, or buttock buddies, I guess would be a better term.
Yeah. So, and the theater's nice. It's a nice big place. It didn't look as decked out. The lights were on us all the time, so it kind of looked ugly as compared to what you see on TV, because you're looking at a bunch of gamers. And that was the downside. But there was this excellent usher at the press conference that I thought was just a great guy. He was on fire. Like he would walk around, and he was like head usher of my balcony. And he was bossing everybody around. And when people were walking by, he'd be like, be sure to go through the doors. And if you don't go through the doors in exactly the right way, we will whip you with reeds. And he was totally joking, and no one would even listen to him because they were too, like, he would tell people to put their cameras away, and they'd get really pissed off. And then he'd walk away with a big smile on his face. He was awesome.
Down on the floor, it was just
Yeah, down in the swank seat. down in the VIP section.
In the Mushroom Kingdom, everyone sprinted to get good seats, and the whole middle section was blocked off for real good VIPs, like, you know, people with sites like 1UP or Game Informer. And, but everyone else who had a Mushroom Kingdom ticket, like, sat on the two flanking sides. And the guy was like, okay, move in, fill in the front rows first. Like, we weren't going to do that already. You know?
Yeah.
But we were right at the front, so we ended up in the third row.
So the Berghammer got to be right there in the middle, huh?
Yeah,
that's
sure
the way it works.
I'm sure guys like him and Matt from IGN were right up there.
Oh, I'm sure they were, like, hugging and kissing in the middle of the thing. I'll bet.
Overall,
whatever.
I really liked the production value of the show. I thought it was very high quality.
Yeah.
Lots. I liked that the way they had the people set up playing the Wii, like, on, like, an invisible stage, like, halfway up from the stage.
Yeah. If you've ever seen a picture, there was a giant unit that held a Nintendo sign that not only opened up for, like, it was like George Harrison's time capsule out of which he stepped, and he was able to talk like he was from 1932, but also you could walk up on top of it, and there were people playing games. There were these flat screens they would watch, and we would get to see what they were playing. And it worked. It really worked.
Except for Red Steel, which was, for half of the presentation, just the logo on the screen.
But you know what? It actually made it better because we didn't have to look at how bad Red Steel actually looked.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be, maybe, hopefully it'll be fine when it comes out, but at its state in E3, Red Steel, while I didn't play it, it may have played very nicely. From what I heard, it was a pretty decent game, but was not the belle of the ball, graphically speaking.
Well, I can go ahead. If we want to move on from the press conference, I'll go ahead and tell you exactly how Red Steel played. Red Steel, to me, is a disappointment. The only reason I didn't post impressions on it on the site is because I've already posted enough negative impressions on Wii. I don't think I've posted a single positive impression for Wii, because the one you did on Super Mario Galaxy was sufficient. The one that Johnny did on Metroid Prime was sufficient.
You mean the two?
Yeah, I don't need to add anything to that. However, I felt like I had something to add to the Zelda impression, so I a contrary opinion. So that's why I said something there. And I would do something on Red Steel, but I've just posted so much negatively. That game has a lot going for it in terms of the idea. If they're making really a single-player game that is a first-person shooter that has a consistent world where you don't just go to levels, but that you actually start out one area and then you move to another area and you continuously move, like Metroid Prime, but they keep that in still this fast-action, first-person shooter style, I really am looking forward to that game. I think that's going to be something quite a lot of fun to play. But at the moment, there are two control problems. One is, unlike Metroid, where you point on the screen is not where – it does not have anything to do with where your icon will be. So you can hold the remote up all you want and point at the screen, but your gun is still going to point wherever it is in relation to the tilt of the controller. It's essentially an analog stick that you hold in your hand. It has nothing to do with like, it's not a light gun game in any way, where you're actually pointing. And to be fair, Metroid's a lot like that too, but Metroid's a lot more flexible, where if you really hold your hand up and point at an area on the screen, it will point there. But
yeah,
Metroid's a fantastic game compared to Red Steel. Red Steel is not half of what Metroid is. The other control problem with Red Steel is that when using the swords, it's essentially a mini game. Johnny said it's like playing a mini game. It wasn't that much fun. You can only go in three directions, and that's
yeah. It doesn't like,
actually
when you
four.
Swing. It doesn't actually sense where you're swinging the sword. It triggers that you have used the accelerometer, and then does an appropriate slash on the screen.
Exactly, which amounts to the Wii Remote functioning as four different buttons for four different types of swings. And I never once felt like I had to guard against anything. However, I did not get to the end of the demo where you fought the guy who was super hard. And I know that Steven did. And Steven Windyman Rodriguez said that he thought this was, he said that the more he played it, the better he got. And by the time he got to the end, he felt very proficient. And so I'm willing to trust his impressions. Mine were on the last day, played it for 5 minutes, and I was disappointed. So here's hoping some polish goes into the graphics and control, and then we'll have an excellent first-person shooter, because level-wise, design-wise, it seems top-notch. But Metroid, tell me something good about Metroid. Let me count the ways.
Yeah.
That game.
And I guess we don't mean to gush like we're Nintendo fanboys or anything, but Metroid shows developers how to do a first-person shooter on that system.
Metroid shows developers how to make a game on Wii.
Yeah.
Because that, that surpassed my expectations entirely, because it's still Metroid Prime in every way. It's not Metroid Prime. It's not anything different from Metroid Prime.
It's not Metroid with some augmented, you know, motion sensing controller thrown on top of it, which is sort of what Zelda was.
Yeah.
It's actually Metroid done correctly with this new controller.
Yeah. And I love that when you're playing it, you're constantly, wherever you're pointing the remote is where you are constantly, you're always participating, unlike Zelda. You cannot let that remote go down because it is your gameplay attachment device. And actually the same thing is true for Super Mario. Even though Super Mario didn't use it as much as it should have, you're always having to point it somewhere and do something. Zelda, it felt like, you know, I run over here, fight this guy, keep running, pull out the bow, now I get to use the Wii remote.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Metroid, constantly connected to the game.
And Mario is more connected than Zelda, but not as much as Metroid. Like, you're constantly interacting, but there are some times when you're not interacting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not constantly interacting, but it's not like the entire remote control mechanism disappears as it does in Zelda. Like with Mario, even when you're not specifically using it, you can still move the controller and move your little star cursor around the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still shake the controller to make Mario do a spin attack, so you're always doing something with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and man, graphics on Mario, those were hot. That grass, okay, I wanted to sniff the grass. It looked good. Yeah, I like that. I like the way that game looks. That kind of shows where the next generation is going for Nintendo. Graphically, it's not amazing. It's not PS3 quality,
but it doesn't
hot.
Need to be. Like, it's not trying to duplicate a realistic environment like Metal Gear. Metal Gear benefits from looking more like reality. You know?
Yeah, you're right. So, anyways, what were some of the things that you saw around the show? Like, you got to play the obstacle course.
Yeah, that game was pretty, very, very sensitive little obstacle course tech demo where you would sort of, you could point your pointer at the screen to move a little character. Like, he was like a little guy who looked like he was constantly doing snow angels. And you have to get him through this maze, sort of like Kuru Kuru Kuru-in on Game Boy Advance. But at the same time, you could also twist the controller itself to twist him on the screen to fit him through little cracks and stuff. And it was really sensitive, but it was pretty hilarious due to the way it looked.
Yeah, I saw a video of it, and I kind of regretted having missed it.
And there was no line for it either, because everyone was like, oh, tech demo, who cares, I'm going to go play Zelda.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to release it. I'll bet it's one of those things that they'll include with the system. I really hope that since it's got a minor hard drive, that they'll include some things.
I'm thinking that, in all honesty, it'll probably, hopefully, come with some sort of demo disc that includes those three little tech demos they had, the ping pong, the obstacle course, and the shooting range, which IGN is erroneously calling Duck Hunt, which it's not.
What was that? I mean, did they actually have the light gun attachment used for that, or
were
you just using the remote?
You were just pointing with the remote and clicking. I imagine if they do a proper Duck Hunt, they'll use that shell, the zapper shell they have there.
Yeah. So where was that even? In the booth.
What?
Was it over next to obstacle course? The Duck Hunt
thing? The light gun? Yeah, it was those three were as far away as you could get on the right side.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I never went over there. I tried playing tennis once, and I actually had to take it away from a booth babe. Like, she was about ready to start playing tennis. I said, hey, can I, you already started.
That's great, though. You know, the booth babe can't put it down.
Well, I would say, yeah, that's great, but I think that she hated me with the fire of 1,000 suns as a result, because I started playing it and I was really bad at it, and she just kind of gave me this glare for the rest of it, the rest of the time.
At least Johnny and I were waiting in line to play the shooting game against each other, and this other man walked up, and when the shooting game was a two-player thing, so when there's no one else to play with, the booth babe fills in.
Oh.
And she destroyed this guy. Like, she'd obviously been doing this, you know, it was day three, so she'd been doing this for 3 days. She
That's
was
so
extremely
funny.
Proficient at shooting little targets in the shooting game.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Yeah, once you know the patterns and everything. But that's something to be said for Nintendo's booth. Okay, booth babes galore. Very nice looking booth babes.
Sony is the same way. Like, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and the bigger third parties, EA, they know what they're doing. They hire attractive people to demo the games, but then you get a company like NCSoft, which hires attractive girls and dresses them like sluts. Like, there's a difference between, you know, like a girl who works for a PR promotional company, like, which is obviously where Nintendo's pulling from some pool of PR girls, like girls who went to college and got degrees in PR or advertising or something, and this is what they do because they are hot.
Yeah.
And then there's a company like NCSoft that'll basically just pick up a hooker on the street and put her in a gamer outfit.
Okay, do you really think they're actually hookers?
Well, I, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if a good number of them are professional escorts.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, Nintendo's got classy. And like it is classy. They're not like undressed at all. They are wearing black pants, blue shirts, and white vests. They look nice, and they can kill you at the games.
Yeah, they train them, you know.
They train them. They have like a day of training, 2 days of training before the show.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And they know how to talk to you. They like, I'm sure that Nintendo's got some sort of like plan for how to like, okay, if a geek comes up to you and like smells really bad, just keep it in. Just don't even worry about it. If like if he starts to put his arm around you, just say, please don't touch me, or something. I'm sure they've got like a system to make sure that those babes treat us like we are kings until we cross the line.
Yeah.
So one of the interesting things about Nintendo's booth, I didn't get to see much of it. Didn't you see more of it? Were those giant life-size video screens?
No, I didn't really see much of those because you had to wait in line to see those, and I didn't wait in that silly line.
But there were these life-size video screens that showed that had people, and one of them was a booth babe who apparently was like the like ultimate booth babe, or like, you know, the most knowledgeable woman in the show, or I don't know. And the other one was Charles Martinet,
the voice of Mario.
Yeah, and I don't know who else. Like, I think there was a third one I never got to see. But there were these video screens that were actually life-size. And when you would walk up to them, there was a video camera so that the booth babe could see you. And she looked right at the camera and talked to you. It was weird. It was like talking to a person. So anyways, these life-size people, it was like you were talking to them. Except they were probably like 5 feet away from you, like inside. They're like inside of the wall, really.
No, they're probably in the back of Nintendo's booth.
Okay, yeah, where there was some of that stuff that looked like it was locked up. Yeah, and it was a really interesting feature. Plus, everybody loved to go talk to Charles Martinet. I think TYP kind of congregated around Martinet's. Yeah.
Well, did you hear this? Did you hear this story about apparently two guys in line? Were harassing the booth babe over the video feed, and they didn't know that she could see them. So she called security on them and got them kicked out of Nintendo's booth for the entire show. And they had the video feed, so they know what these guys look like and everything.
Oh, that's awesome. They probably got back in, those two.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of people at E3. They could probably slip right in. I also heard a story about, apparently, Nintendo security caught a guy trying to get into the booth with a pair of scissors. That he was going
really?
To use to remove a Wii controller from the
booth. Wow. Well, what are you...
Well, that happened back in 2001 when the GameCube first showed up. One of those controllers was stolen. Idiot tried to sell it on eBay and got caught.
They got caught? That's so funny. Yeah, though, you'd really have to, if you did get one, it'd just be a souvenir for yourself, I think.
Yeah.
Plus, the fact that we saw two different designs of the controller. We saw one during the press conference. That was very much, it was very much what we've seen before, except it had the speaker, and it had the home button in the middle, and on the left of it was a minus sign, and on the right of it was a plus sign. That's mm-hmm. not the controller that we got to hold at the show.
Right.
The one at the show had three buttons on it. The one on the left was kind of a return button. It was an arrow twisted backwards.
Arrow.
Back arrow, yeah. And then the middle one was still home, but then the right one was pause, and underneath it said start. So it was the pause-start variation that Nintendo has kept up since the GameCube, so that people who don't play games can understand that start does not actually start your game when you're playing it.
Yeah,
so,
pause, it actually stops your game.
It actually stops it. Yeah, how interesting. But it also starts it in other situations.
Well, it restarts it once you stop it. So it is very much a pause button.
Yeah. So Nintendo's wise in that it's actually a remote control with a pause button.
And a power button, too.
A power button as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they came up with a play button on it as well, or they changed the A button to be play button. I don't know. But did anybody ever try turning the power off?
I did not. I assumed it. I just flat out assumed it wasn't going to go away.
Yeah, I'll bet it was disabled.
I mean, they had those little consoles on display, like, you know, the little plastic case that looked like a Wii. But you were not playing the game on that plastic case.
You were
case.
So not. But they had cords coming out of it.
There was a dev kit inside that podium,
oh,
definitely.
For sure. But the fact that there were wires coming out of it, I don't know. It looked to me like it was running. It was glowing at least.
Actually, I saw one of them on the end of day three. The system was not glowing anymore. I guess the little light bulb burned out inside of it.
Well, yeah, it was on for like probably 9 hours every day. And the day before as well, so that doesn't surprise me either. So all in all, E3 was Nintendo's per what we saw. Of course, we're the most biased people on the entire internet.
According to somethingawful.com.
According to somethingawful, if we play a Mario game, it gets a 10. So, and let me tell you something, the Mario game that I saw at E3 is very close to a 10. However, the Zelda game, as you can read in the impressions that I wrote for PGC, not so much of a 10. 6.5 or 6.9, 7 even maybe, I don't know. But overall, Nintendo had a great showing. Walking through Sony's booth, the lines were short, the games looked awesome, but no one really seemed to care.
I cared about Guitar Hero 2 on PS2. How about that? They should make that for the Wii. It's already wireless, it's already got an accelerometer, you just snap the controller into a little guitar shell and rock the hell out.
It still seems to me that shell would cost just as much as the regular controller.
It should.
But, you know, yeah, I'm totally with you. If they got Guitar Hero,
even if it does, I don't care.
Yeah, and actually, Okami looked really nice.
Yeah,
I watched
videos
that he could actually play. Yeah, I don't understand the game.
Last year I said, oh, this is a game that should be on the DS because you could draw on the DS. And now this year I'm thinking, Okami, that game ought to be on the Wii.
On the Wii for sure, because That thing looked hot. That looked like I actually commented to the Capcom rep. I got to talk with her, and who's an incredibly nice lady. She said, I told her, you know, this game looks as though it should be on the Wii, and that the drawing style, that the character style, it looks like Wind Waker. And isn't it interesting how when Wind Waker came out, no one, like, everybody's like, cartoony style. And now I seriously, on the show floor, 3 or 4 super big games and a lot of lower class copier games.
Mm-hmm.
All of them had this cel shading that looked very reminiscent and very stylish in their own right. And I'm not going to call them copycats, but they saw what it could do.
Inspired by.
Yeah, exactly.
We are hitting our limit now. I just wanted to, if you enjoy the audio portion of Planet GameCube, you should check out the Nintendo Funhouse Radio, where you can listen to all sorts of video game music. And we are thinking about doing this podcast every week, might be every other week, but we're thinking every week. If you have ideas or questions, suggestions, comments, you should send those to podcast@planetgamecube.com. That email address should be up by the time this podcast is up. And next week, since we talked about Wii the entire show this week, the next week is going to be the DS episode.
DS Omegathon. It will be incredible.
All right, so that is the end of our first podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Evan.
And we will see you hopefully next week, but perhaps in 2.